Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm in the book of Daniel tonight, chapter number 2. You bear with this raspy voice and I'll give you the best Bradford pear that I can give you. I think the devil come up with them things. They're beautiful. That's why sin's pretty for a while. But eventually it stinks. It causes you trouble. Weak in the storm, fall apart. Yeah, all them things. Daniel's not the book that everybody dives into after about the third chapter. Well, chapter 5 probably most people quit reading. Might get on over into 6 some, but for the most part, it's not everybody's favorite book. It's a deep book. It's a hard book. There's a lot of symbolic language in this book, and sometimes it's deep prophetically. Daniel's a deep book. And when you think where Daniel was when he penned this for us, you know, he's in captivity. Though he's in a place of power and position, he's kind of all alone, just him and the Lord. No family to tell of. So anyway, he's writing this. Now, I'm in deep water right here. And this is just nearly above my pay grade, but I'm going to do the best I can with it. Because let me read the text and then I'll give you my title and pray. Daniel 2 and verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." Father, I love you. Thank you for this night, the time, the people, the songs, the spirit. Thank you for everything you've done for us this day and every day prior, and God, those days to come. You are God and there is none other like you. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for saving an old sinner like me. Now use me tonight. God, fill my mouth, guard my tongue, preach me to your glory. I give you praise and honor for everything that's accomplished. And I ask these favors tonight in my King's name, Jesus. Amen. And amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought, from never to forever. From never to forever. I was sitting in a meeting Monday night and the thought came. Gary said something and it just come, never came up on my heart. And I thought, what am I going to do with never? And there was a passage of scripture come to my mind and I'll use it momentarily. But for right now, I need to address this and let everyone know where we're at here in this particular passage. He's closing out the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has had here. Daniel has prophesied. Daniel, he didn't know what he had dreamed. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember, but Daniel went in and told him what he dreamed and then told him what the dream meant. That's pretty good. So Daniel gets moved way up in the kingdom after this. But you know, it's not long, about 20 years or so, and Nebuchadnezzar forgets all about it and builds him a statue to himself. That's another message. He says here in verse 44, what he has explained to him in this vision is he saw the statue of a man. And the man had a head of gold and the arms and the chest of silver and brass in his thighs, and his legs were iron and his feet was iron mingled with clay. And Daniel, hundreds of years before it was going to take place, told him the, those, what this represented was those that was going to be in power in the coming ages. Now some said, well, men wrote this book. I'm going to tell you, when Daniel, and this is a historical document, when Daniel penned this, he's talking about a guy named Alexander and a place named Rome that he ain't never seen or won't be nowhere around when it happens. Tell me it's not special. Nebuchadnezzar likes it because he's the head of gold. He doesn't have to answer to anyone else. But the value of the metals deteriorate as you come down the statue, but the strength of the metal increases. So we come and we have the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar, and he's told him about these. He comes and the brass, and he tells them, these are the Persians, Medo-Persians, is going to come, and they're going to take over your kingdom. And then Alexander the Great from Macedonia, Greco-Macedonia, he's going to come, and he's going to take over. Now, he doesn't name him. He names the kingdom, and we know by history who it was that come and took over. Then Rome is represented by the steel legs, and Rome was quite the beast, they called it. We come to 10 toes then. Now these other kingdoms have been set up. They've been tore down. They come, they ruled. He said Nebuchadnezzar, it was his, the entire earth where people inhabited it, it belonged to Nebuchadnezzar. Then when he was overtaken, his kingdom's thrown down. As a matter of fact, Belshazzar, his grandson's having a party, and he took God's stuff from the temple and began to have a party and drink out of the cups that is dedicated to God. And they said, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. You're going to die tonight. And as he was doing that, and his hand was riding up on the wall that he couldn't see, they had diverted the river, and they was coming underneath the city gates and just walked in and took it over. Killed the king in his bed. Now these were great. I want you to get a hold of this. These were great kingdoms. These was kingdoms that ruled everything around. There was no question about it. It wasn't a democracy. You didn't vote. You done what the king said to do. You didn't have the choice. You didn't like what the king said, they'd just kill you, not think anything about it. Absolute authority. When it comes to Alexander the Great, he comes and does his work from the Macedonian during the time of the silence of God in that 400 year span. From the time God prophesied in Malachi till he showed up in Nazareth or born in Bethlehem, till he spoke to John the Baptist and sent him out preaching. In that time of silence, old Alexander went out and conquered everything he could see and drank himself to death. History records that he sat down and wept because there was nothing else to conquer. He just liked killing people, apparently. The Romans show up, and it's a little different with Rome. They got a Senate. They got a guy in charge. If the guy in charge gets out of hand, the Senate will take care of him. And if the senators get out of hand, they'll run them off. I'd vote for that. So they had all this time, and I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. You got to stay with me. But then it comes down to the 10 toes. What's so important about that? Listen, this is a time when it comes back together. We've not seen that come to pass as of yet. Daniel's writing about it. Daniel said, in the days of these kings, in other words, the kings were never mentioned in those kingdoms that I spoke of in Daniel's vision or Nebuchadnezzar's vision, Daniel's interpretation. It was never mentioned. But then he talks about, those were kingdoms. Now he talks about some kings. We've not seen them yet. We're going to see them. They're going to show up in the near future. Avery sent me something. I think Brother David sent it to him. Avery sent it to me. It's concerning the sacrifice of the red heifer, and the Muslims are more concerned about it than the Jews. They're all tore up. They think something's got, they got more faith than the Jews got. They know if they sacrifice that heifer, something's going to happen. And you know when they're going to do it? This Passover. On the Mount of Olivet. And Passover is just a few days away. I'm saying things are in motion. They can't purify the place for a temple to be without the ashes of a red heifer. And the heifer, look here, they've examined this thing, and there's not a white hair or a black hair on these cows. They're solid red. They got three left out of the five, Randall, if I remember right. David, you've heard the same video. I think three out of the five originally, they flew them from Texas over there. Why is that important, preacher? Because it's bringing us up to this place. He said that his kingdom, when it's set up, will never be destroyed. Now, I know what you're thinking, but let me just in case. When Jesus showed up, he told them, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What? Look here. He's here. He is the king, and it was his domain. So the king's domain, he was at hand, but they didn't recognize him for who he was. They rejected him, and God knew from the foundation of the world that's what was going to transpire. I heard a song the other night. This talk singing about God having to being heartbroken. I just didn't care for it much. He's talking about having to look around and see if they could find somebody to come. I thought, oh, now, dear friend, this thing was planned from the foundation of the world. Are you still with me? So then he says he's going to set his kingdom up. Now, he did not do it at that time, and we know what happened. He lived here on this earth for 33 and a half years. He's crucified, paid the sin debt of all the world, sin for all time. The sin debt today in heaven is zero. The debt has been paid. People just don't claim the payment. So here we have it all transpired. It happened. Had he set up a kingdom? The angel told Mary in Nazareth before she was with child, he said he's going to give him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. He's going to get the throne. That didn't happen when he came the first time. He didn't get the crown. He got the cross. But he's coming back. I like what J. Vernon McGee said about his return. Said it's going to be climactic, it's going to be catastrophic, and it's going to be cataclysmic. I said, praise God, I like that. In other words, he's going to shake some things up when he comes back. Now us that are premillennialists, we believe in a rapture of the church. Not everybody believes that, and I won't fight with them over it. They got the right to be wrong if they want to, and I ain't going to say nothing else about it. So I'm just going to wait until the horn sounds and I'm leaving according to Scripture. Tear Thessalonians out of the book if that's not true. I said, why would he call me into the air to bring me back to the earth? That makes no sense. Now, if he called me up to take me somewhere, now I'm with you. And then I'm coming back. He said, we're going to reign as kings and priests. When is that going to happen? Well, we've not done it in this life. When's that going to happen? Well, you think that's going to happen in heaven? I'm not reigning nothing in glory. When's that going to happen? The only way it could happen is if we come back and there's something to reign over. Are you with me? But he said it's never, it'll never be destroyed. And then he said, and it's going to stand forever. So I got to considering this. He said in Isaiah 13, 20, he said, Babylon shall never be inhabited after its destruction. They said where ancient Babylon stood, he said the shepherds wouldn't even go there. There's some kind of mystical stories hanging around the realms of the Bedouins over there. They said it's a cursed place and they wouldn't recommend that you go there. So the shepherds don't even show up. How accurate is scripture? But he told David, or he spoke of David in Jeremiah 33 and 17, said David shall never want a man to sit on the throne. Been a long time since when I'm set there. But he's ready to sit there. Now I'm going to go a few places in the New Testament and I'll be done with this. But what I was thinking about was he's very explicit here. These kingdoms rose, nobody could come against them, and then when it was time, they come down. Now, America don't think anybody can come against us. We're dead wrong. And I'll just tell you, I gotta be careful right here, scare somebody. You let the right war break out in the area, and it's teetering on it right now in the Persian Gulf. And we could run on our own oil for a while if they'd let us drill. But it could be clamped down. And I'm just going to tell you, you don't go to Kroger and buy food because it just poof appeared on the shelf. Somebody had to load a truck somewhere and that truck had to carry that to the store. Somebody had to put it on the shelf and we drive a car to go to the store to get what's on the shelf. I'm saying it could get bad quicker than most people in this room thinks it could happen. Amen. Thought you were talking about the church leaving here. I'm going to tell you, my friends, I believe the church is going to taste more of this than you think we are. Not the tribulation. I'm saved from the wrath to come, or that book's wrong. He said, I'm saved. I'm not appointed to wrath. And I'm saved from the wrath to come. That's pretty plain. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, said that. So if he lied to me about that, he must have lied about everything else. But I'm going to tell you, Paul didn't lie about it. So here we have, look here. I'm not trying to doom and gloom, not trying to scare you. Because look here. I believe that the same one, praise God, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But at this time, these things had risen and they had fallen and they done it in perfect timing according to this. And when the fullness of the Gentiles, when this is the time of the Gentiles, there's a difference in the fullness and the time. This is the time of the Gentiles. There's going to be a time when they come and they have the last hurrah. I'll tell you something interesting. You can pull up a picture of the old Roman Empire in the modern day European Union and lay them, if I had a picture of it, I'd show it on the screen and lay them over each other and they're very close. But he said, over in verse 33 of this chapter, he said the stone that's cut, not made by hands, is going to roll down, is going to smash the king. Nebuchadnezzar's time come and went. Look here, the Persians' time came and go. Iran is Persia, you understand that? And they're looking for the next 13th Imam or whatever, number 12 or 13, whatever it is. They're looking for him to come. And they think it's gonna take something catastrophic to make that happen. And they're the ones that's so upset about a temple being built up on the mount. And as a matter of fact, that's why they said they attacked Israel in October, because they didn't want the temple to be built. But when the fullness, well, I'm telling you, there'll be a time come and it'll be fulfilled. But it's from never to forever. Listen to this. In Mark 2 and verse number 12, you don't have to turn there. But in Mark 2 and 12, here's what's happened. And you know the story. This guy's paraplegic or paralytic or he's paralyzed. He can't get off the cot. He can't get to Jesus, but he's got four buddies that says, hey, if we get do anything for him, we need to get him to Jesus. We're going to get him there. And you know the story, when they get him there, you can't get him in because the crowd say, hey, I'd like it to be so crowded here next week in revival that we had to set out chairs. And there he is, and he's in a real bad way. And his friends tear the roof off to get him to Jesus. Mike Blanton said the roof was clay. You got to get the flesh out of the way to get anybody to the Christ. That's very good. And when they get him there, Jesus saw their faith. The one had faith. I'm trying to have faith for some people right now that I don't think have faith of their own. And there's been a time, I'm telling you, when I had COVID, y'all had faith for me. I didn't have no faith. Praise God, I was waiting on the train ride out of here. But God said, no, you're not going yet. I get that grandson saved. I think that's the last thing on the calendar. And there I am. They've let him down. There he lays. And he's before Jesus. Jesus saw their faith. And he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And those that stood by said, who can forgive sin but God? And Jesus reasoned in his heart what they thought. And he said, so that you'll know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sin. Hey, I'm going to do something else. Take up thy bed and walk. I think the guy was healed the moment the sin was taken care of. He just didn't know it yet. And when he got up and started walking off, here's what they said. We never saw it on this fashion. Let me give you that in modern hillbilly. We ain't never seen nothing like this. Never. But there never was his forever. He said, hey, first thing you need is your sin problem taken care of. Then you can get up and do what you need to do. The primary mission of the Christ was to seek and to save that which was lost. Never saw it on this fashion. There never was his forever. We come to John chapter 7. I'm pretty sure it's 7. Let me make sure. 7 and 46. We come to John. John shows him as God. We get there in John in 7. And so they sent this group out there to arrest him is what they come to do. They're going to go get the Christ. But when they got there, he's a talking, and that's as far as they could get. Hey, when he began to speak, they were dumbfounded, stopped them in their tracks. And here's what they said when we bent back. Never, never a man spake like this man. They didn't even know what they were saying. That's the same voice that said, let there be light, praise God. And it come on and it's been shining ever since. Hey, that's the same voice that said, so be it unto you. That's a voice that said, get up and walk. That's a voice that said, Lazarus, come forth. That's the voice. Ain't never nobody spoke like that voice. That never was forever. You can't stop that. He said it. That settles it. Somebody said, he said it, I believe it. That settles it. No, he said it, it settled. Whether you believe it or not. Don't matter whether you believe it or not. It's a done deal. forever, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's there already. Nobody can do anything about it. It's there. But it doesn't stop there. So they never saw it on that fashion. That was his work. No man spake like this man. That's his word, Randall. I got a lot of Randalls in here. Them on the video things, and I get to calling Randalls. They don't know which one I got. So we see his work that he done. That was from never to forever. Then we see the word that he spoke. That was never had anybody spoke like that to forever. It's forever settled in heaven. But we use a verse out of context often that was written should have looked it up. Deuteronomy, I think. Could have been Numbers. I think it's Deuteronomy. When he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we use that in the context of salvation, and that's not really what it is. He said, be content with such things as you have. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's telling the children of Israel. I may have the wrong book, but I got the right people. He's telling them, saying, hey, I won't leave you. Look, you may be in the wilderness. You may face some enemies. You're going to be in the land of hills and valleys. It's going to be some trouble around your way. But here's what I'm promising you. Be content with what you got, because I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Hey, if you've got a pocket full of money, he blessed you with it. And if you owe $100, he blessed you to owe $100. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. His never is my forever. He's not going to leave me in a lurch. He's not going to leave me. Listen, when it comes my time to fly, he's not going to leave me in whatever situation I'm in to get me out of this world. Barring the rapture, if you think you're leaving here any other way than taking your turn in the box, you're dead wrong, literally. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy. And there it is. The picture of it. Doesn't matter what happens in this kingdom coming. I don't care what the 10 toes do. I don't care when they show up, and I don't care when he tears them down. Makes no never mind to me. Because here's what he promised me. I'm not going to leave you. And I'm not going to forsake you. So whatever comes. Now I'm saying not the wrath of God. Myself and a whole lot of other people have misunderstood this book. If the church, the bride. When you got married. Hey boys, listen to me. When you, and I'm getting to the age I can call you boys now, because everybody, only Brant's and a few others older than me in here now. When you got married, was this your thought? I'm going to give my bride a rough way to go. You didn't have her long, if as you thought. You're going to fight tooth and nail. Hey, you're not going to let anything harm her. That's the reason I'm a crazy man on the road. Make Pat nervous sometimes. I'm about as Jimmy Pleasant. Think I'm Matt Dillon. Drop! The bride taking care of us. Take care of your bride. Never going to leave her. Never going to forsake you. I'm going to take care of you. But that's not the only never. It's not the only other never. There's like 80 of them. Nevers, 80 something. A lot. Brother Tony said this the other day. You know what's so sad? if he says, I never knew you. Now, here's, you've got the one that's give us, I mean, we've seen his work. We've heard his word. We've saw his witness. Never going to leave you. He has he witnessed that to anybody besides me in here tonight? Praise God. But then come to that place where somebody says, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. Not that I knew you and forgot you. I never know who you was. But they've been to church. They've done works. They worked in his name. They've done a lot of big things. Hey, we've done. We cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you. That never is there forever. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. Well, ain't that sad? You know what Joel said about it? Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And the reason they're in the valley of decisions, they already made the wrong choice. That's the lost that he sees standing there. The God haters, the neglectors. Maybe good moral people never wanted anything to do with God. And in the valley of decision, you know what he'll say to them? Never knew you. That never becomes there forever. Can you imagine that, Jim? Sad. Now, this didn't burn the barn down. I just ain't got the voice to preach it, to be honest. Here's the thing. Jesus calling somebody now. Here's the thing. We have opportunities 3 times a week in this church. And I know. Listen, I invite. I got invited a guy to car wash the other day, and Lexi, your mind slipped my. I said, Sister Troglin. I'm thinking, my Lord, boy, y'all went brain dead. He works at the post office, moved here from Washington State. Said I couldn't take that bunch of left wing nut jobs out there anymore. He said we moved here and we don't change nothing. I said, well, you're the kind we like here. You can come one, come on, come here, don't change nothing. 3 times a week. He said, I work at the post office. I have to work on Sundays. I wasn't getting nowhere. We got an opportunity, Gordon. We're going to see some people. We're going to have 2 guys. They're not going to, listen, both these guys are going to preach to you. They're going to preach you the truth. They ain't going to get out and jump no benches. And they ain't going to scare nobody. So you invite the most timid people you know, they'll be good and God will use them. God's got them here for a reason. I could not, listen, I prayed and prayed. God, tell me, Lord, I would need to know who we need to have. And when I went to Florida, I mean, he couldn't have written it on the wall, me and known it any better. First guy I see is Will. You'll never see him there until church time. I said, hey, you busy the last week of March? And I did not know it was spring break, so a bunch probably be going to the beach. But I tell you, we got things. It's more important than vacation. Yes. We got dying people. Yes. We got people that's going to hear, I never knew you. And I'm telling you, hell's as real as the heaven that I preach about. It's real, and it's forever. It's never, listen, if he tells them never, it's forever when they get that. And they're not getting out of that. They missed his kingdom. He said, listen, come and fall on this rock and be broken. But if this rock falls on you, he'll grind you to powder. Hey, look it, come, fall on the rock. We need them falling on the rock. Fall on the rock, get in the right kingdom. Look, and our never, look here, turns into our forever. It's better. I'm glad I know where I'm going. When I pillow my head at night, I don't go to bed thinking, am I going to heaven or not? No. Come, every day's not a journey. You know, there's hills and valleys. But I know in whom I have believed, praise God. And I'm not trusting Mike, I'm trusting him. Ha, 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 ha. I know what my forever is. I've never seen him. I've talked to him a lot. He spoke to me a few times. And I've never seen his face. Heather's singing that song Tammy wrote from a perspective of a little child that saw Jesus for the first time. Where'd you get them? And the Bible said in the house of my, I was wounded in the house of my friends. That's where I got them. My friends done this to me. Who was his friend? That's what he said to Judas when he kissed him in the garden. Called him friend. Hey, that word's comrade. It means special friend. I've never seen him, but one of these days, that face that I've never seen, my never is going to be forever. When I get there, I just don't think I'm going nowhere else. Do you know that? Are you sure about that tonight? Yeah. You can be sure about it. All you got to do is believe what the book says. Put your faith in him. Trust him. You can have him. It's not complicated. A child can understand it. Come to the piano for me, Jewel. What's your forever? You need to know. I forgot the preacher that used the illustration of a cord, and he had a little piece of tape on it. Throwed that thing out there about 50 foot. I can't remember Chan. Brother Chan threw that cord out there, had that little piece of tape. He said, there's your life and there's eternity and it's farther than that. That's about as good an illustration I've ever seen. You got to know where your forever's at. We stand at our feet tonight. Bow our heads all over the sanctuary. I'm going to ask you tonight if you're here and you don't sure about you forever, you'd like for me to pray for you. Would you by a raised hand say, hey preacher, remember me in prayer? Is that one? Aren't you glad for your forever? I've never seen that before. I never heard that before. I'm never going to be alone anymore. I appreciate your time and attention. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.